Good morning. Thank you for joining our call today to discuss Coca-Cola Hellenic Bottling Company's third quarter trading update. Today, I'm joined by our Chief Executive Officer, Dimitris Lloyd, and our Chief Financial Officer, Michalis Imellos. Before we get started, let me remind everyone that this conference call contains various forward-looking statements. These should be considered in conjunction with the cautionary statements in our trading update press release, which we published this morning. As for our usual format for trading updates, Dimitris will make some brief opening remarks before we open the floor to your questions, which Dimitris and Michalis will take together. Let me now turn the call over to Dimitris.
Thank you, Basak. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining our call. Overall, third quarter trading developed as expected, against the backdrop of trading conditions broadly consistent with the first half of the year. Let's look at the headline numbers. Group volume was down by 1% compared to a 5.4% growth in the prior year quarter, when the exceptionally hot summer in some of our countries boosted demand, mainly for water. Taking this into account, the underlying growth in our business remains robust. We continue to focus on revenue growth management while improving both package and category mix. These initiatives, combined with the price increase taking mainly in emerging markets, deliver a 3.8% improvement in revenue per case on an FX neutral basis. As a result, FX neutral net sales revenue growth in the quarter was 2.8%. Currencies remained a headwind in the quarter. Factoring in the 4.5% currency impact on our top line, net sales revenue declined by 1.9% compared to the prior year quarter. Let me now take you through the main drivers of volume and revenue per case. In the developing and established markets, the volume decline you see for the quarter, 4.2% and 2.5% respectively, are a result of a tough prior year comparatives of 10.4% for developing markets and 7.4% for the established markets. We continue to take advantage of opportunities for growth in these markets with new launches such as Coke Life and Fanta flavors, new packs such as glass contour bottles, and excellent execution capitalizing on the Taste the Feeling campaign and the Coke with Meals occasion. In emerging markets, we are very happy to see Nigeria and Romania leading the growth with double-digit and mid-single-digit increases respectively. The economy is stabilizing gradually in Russia with lower inflation rates and a better consumer outlook. As a result, the rate of decline in the quarter slowed compared to the prior year quarter, resulting in a growth rate for the segment of 1.3%. As you are aware, we have a consistent focus on improving the value we get from every case we sell, and in this quarter, we have accelerated the pace of growth. In the emerging markets, price increases drove 8.1% FX neutral revenue per case growth, accelerating our progress compared to the first half of the year. Improved category and package mix contributed to this result, as the share of single-serve packages increased in our package mix by 1.9 percentage points. In the developing market segment, effective management of promotions and reduced deflationary pressure drove FX neutral revenue per case up by 3.5%, reversing the negative trend seen in the first half of the year. In the established markets, promotional pressures and adverse channel mix impacted FX neutral revenue per case performance, which was down marginally. Looking at the categories, we are pleased with sparkling beverage performance, where we've seen volumes grow by 1.3% in the period, despite cycling 4% growth in the prior year period. Good performances in Nigeria, Romania, Ukraine, and Ireland more than offset the declines in some of our established and developing markets and in Russia. Within the category, Coca-Cola Regular led the growth in trademark Coca-Cola, while Fanta posted 6.7% growth with good contribution from all segments. The water category had a very high comparative base, having grown by 12.4% in the prior year quarter. Against this, water volume declined by 8%. Juice volume increased in the period by 2%. This was driven by the continued growth in Romania and Nigeria, as well as the gradual recovery of our juice business in Russia. Energy volume grew by 24%, with strong performances across our markets. New launches of the Monster brand in our countries and the subsequent expansion in distribution were behind this excellent growth rate. We delivered a very good performance from package mix in this quarter. Single serve contribution improved by 1.7 percentage points with good performances from the smaller packs in all segments. Sparkling single serve packs improved by 1.1 percentage points, while water improved by 3.4 percentage points. In conclusion, we are pleased with this quarter's performance and look forward to finishing the year with another good quarter in which we will benefit from one additional selling day. The underlying growth in our business remains robust, and we are confident in meeting our expectations of modest volume growth and a substantial improvement in FX neutral net sales revenue per case for the full year. With that, I will now hand over to the operator, and Michalis and I will take your questions. Operator.
Thank you. Our first question comes from the line of Shani Awila. Please go ahead, Shani. You're now unmuted and deliver your question.
Hi, it's Sanjay Orsley here from Credit Suisse. Just a couple of questions, please, Dimitris Mihailos. On, firstly, on price mix, can you just give us a sense of how much of that might have been distorted by the category mix with water being down so much and how you see that playing out for the rest of the year and going into next year? And then also how that ties in with your margin expectations, please, for the full year.
Sanjit, let me take you through the different segments because I think that will give a bit more clarity. I will start with emerging, and here the main driver is pricing, and you have seen also our packaging mix being positive. Now, going to the other two segments, I will start with developing. And in developing, we have seen a great swing in water between Q3 last year and Q3 this year. I will remind you that last year we had in some of the countries, and I'm referring to Poland, 30%+ increase. So obviously that is affecting the overall revenue per case. So what we have seen this year, the 3.5% is definitely driven to a great extent by water. There is an underlying improvement in pricing. So I would say approximately 1 percentage point would be attributed to water. Now, moving to established here, as you've heard, we have two elements that have been negative for the quarter. One has been the channel mix, and the second, overall promotional pressures. And that's why we see in Q3 a marginal decline of 0.3%. Now, going forward, we reiterate what we said back in February, that this year we're going to see a substantial improvement in the FX neutral revenue per case. And if we see Q4 ahead of us, we are working to have going back to positive in established versus the minus 0.3 in Q3. Obviously, in developing markets, we will not have the water effect, so we will not have the 3.5. It's going to be lower than that. And in emerging, overall, we said that we are taking pricing, We will continue to take pricing, so we expect something better than what we have seen so far.
That's very helpful. And just to follow up on Nigeria, another quarter of solid growth there. How do you see the consumer environment playing out there since the devaluation and some of the pricing that you're putting through?
What we have seen, and that is a general trend, not only reflecting Nigeria, is first we see the negative macros, and there is some time between the negative macros and or the positive macros reflecting to the consumer and to the consumption. So what we have seen is a very solid growth in Q3, double digit, 11%, and that has been driven by sparkling and juices. We have been taking pricing, and we will continue to take pricing across Q4. And our expectation, or what we see ahead, is that as these macros and the teens inflation will gradually start filtering through to consumer, that we will see that reflecting next year overall in our volumes. So we do expect, as we originally said, a good year this year, a year that we're going to grow mid to high single digits, and eventually the overall external environment being far more evident as we transition into 2017.
Got it. Thanks.
Our next question comes from the line of Stan Draziotis. Please go ahead, Stan. You're now unmuted.
Yes, hi there. Good morning, everyone, and thank you very much for taking my questions. Three, if I may, please. The first one would be a follow-up on FX neutral net revenue per unit case. Could you please tell us what the year-on-year change would have been in Q3, excluding Russia and Nigeria, please? The second question would be on profitability. After the half-year results, you had expressed confidence that operating profit margins would remain on an upward trajectory and expand in H2. As far as I can tell, you are basically reiterating this expectation following the Q3 trading. Just wondering whether you also anticipate that this, you know, EBIT margin expansion will also translate into year-on-year growth on an absolute basis, please. During past conference calls, you have referred to the potential of using the balance sheet for bolt-on acquisitions to, as far as I can tell, potentially fill in gaps in the portfolio. My question is whether you would also consider a more sizable acquisition that would enable you to increase your geographic footprint, but which would gear up significantly the balance sheet. Thank you.
Sam, let me take the last part. And here, our policy is not to comment or speculate about potential M&A transactions, and you should not read anything into that. Let me pass to Michalis for your profitability question.
Yes, hi, Sam. Let me start with the margins. In quarter three, things have developed in line with our expectations. We said that volumes held up very well, considering last year's tough comparatives. Still, the impact is negative because of the decline to the margin. However, revenue per case on a currency neutral basis accelerated significantly, so that has a strong leverage effect, positive leverage effect to the margins. We did point out to an input cost environment that would deteriorate gradually in the second half compared to the first half, and this is indeed happening in line with our expectations. So everything is developing exactly in line with what we shared with you back in August. Looking at quarter four, volume leverage should improve, supported by the one extra selling day. Revenue per case will continue to contribute positively to the bottom line. We talked about overall in the full year an acceleration of the revenue per case currency neutral growth compared to the first half. Input costs will become a stronger headwind, mainly in the emerging markets, so that they close the year overall with a marginal increase, as we said back in August. So all in all, nothing has changed compared to what we were quoting back in August. Now, on your very first question, I'm not sure it makes a lot of sense to take out Russia and Nigeria, but if you want really an indication, one should look at established and developing market trends. And then if you, within emerging, which is the major driver of the revenue per case currency neutral growth because of the pricing developments in Russia and now in Nigeria, I would say that the rest of the territories are following pretty much the trends that we see in established and developing markets.
That's very clear. And just a follow-up on the last question. The we saw that you basically commented on the reversal of this negative trend in developing markets, which was, as you said, partly due to the water effect, but there is some element of underlying improvement. Do you think this is sustainable, i.e., that deflationary pressures which were evident in past quarters will improve or will moderate?
Yeah, in developing markets.
Yes.
First of all, Dimitris talked about the exceptional positive impact that we had in quarter three because we are cycling strong water growth from last year. So this year, quarter three, the category mix is exceptionally good because of the cycling. This is not going to continue, obviously, in quarter four as we get back to more normalized cycling in terms of categories. Still, category mix is expected to be positive in quarter four. Pack mix continues to be positive. It's the result of all the OBPC initiatives that we take, and it's positive both in sparkling and in water. Now, channel mix across our segments, and of course more in developing, is negative, and it's Poland there primarily that is driving this. Now, on price, it's not the biggest element in the developing segment. It's more or less stable, but as the deflationary pressures are abating, and we see evidence of that in developing markets, we do expect that gradually and slowly pricing will also be a little bit better. But it's not the major element within the developing markets. It's pack and category mix that is driving the growth there.
That's very useful. Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Kate Kalashnikova. Please go ahead, Kate. You're now unmuted.
So my first question is follow-up on Nigeria. Have you taken, you've taken some pricing in Nigeria, most recently in mid-September, I believe. Have your competitors followed this? And how are you addressing affordability concerns in Nigeria? And secondly, can you talk a little bit about the opportunities for cost savings in Nigeria to mitigate some of the headwinds next year?
Yes. So first of all, we have been taking pricing starting, I would say, the last part of May, beginning of June. And as we said, we gradually continue to take pricing within Q3, and we will continue with Q4. So it is not only 1 month, but it is a gradual pricing across the month and will continue. We are absolutely focusing, and affordability is at the core of our initiatives. And here we have referred to a couple of initiatives, starting with different packages that we have been introducing, and this will continue across, and it will also continue next year.
The second is that we see the different regions, so we have a segmented approach per region. And then, obviously, along with the different packages, it is the mix of our product portfolio. So affordability will always be at the center, being addressed by package and focusing behind price points. Now, going to the last part of your question with regards to cost savings, we have been referring to a couple of initiatives, and this starts with optimizing our footprint. And there are two areas there. The first area has to do with the overall manufacturing footprint, reducing the number of sites. Then, additionally, we have been taking out slow lines and replacing with faster lines that allows us to have better flexibility and efficiency. And that filters through to the overall logistics. The number of distribution centers is being optimized. And there is a lot of work for this year and for next year behind the overall optimization of our cost structure in Nigeria.
Very helpful. Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Richard Felton. Please go ahead, Richard. You're now unmuted.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my questions. Two for me, please. Firstly, on Nigeria, we've been hearing from some companies that despite the floating rate, they're still struggling to secure enough dollars to operate. I was wondering if you've been having any similar issues. And then secondly, please can you give us an update on FX guidance? At half-year results, you guided for an adverse impact of 115 million, million euros at EBIT level. Are there any updates there? Thank you.
Hi, Richard. Starting with your second question on the FX guidance, back in August, we guided you to an FX hit for the full year of 115 million. Since then, the ruble has improved. At the time, the spot price was at around 72.5. Now we see it in the region of 68 to 70. We saw some volatility in the last few days. Having said that, it is an improvement. And at the same time, we see that there is some heat coming from Nigeria. And it's not so much on the official rate, but it is more on the rate that we experience that gets embedded into our transactional exposures when we negotiate locally with suppliers for purchases of raw materials. Therefore, the positive effect from the ruble gets partially offset by the negative impact from Nigeria. So overall, I would say that we see a small improvement to this 115 million in the ballpark of 5 million. So round about 110 for the full year. In terms of the situation with the hard currency liquidity in Nigeria, it is challenging. It does remain challenging. The Naira devalued by nearly 40% since the central bank's decision in June to float the currency from 199 to around 320 at the moment. We have seen the central bank performing some hard currency injections in the form of special auctions to decrease the outstanding backlog of hard currency in the market. These are still not particularly significant, I would say, compared to the needs. We are working with our suppliers, with the Coca-Cola company. We execute pre-buys, and in many respects, we try to mitigate the overall impact. However, because we purchase a lot of our raw materials in local currency, liquidity is not an issue. It's more a question of what the embedded rate that suppliers build into those raw materials is, and that is what is driving some of the negative impact that I mentioned earlier.
Great, thank you. That's very helpful.
Our next question comes from the line of Tristan Van Strien. Please go ahead, Tristan. You're now unmuted.
Good morning. Three questions, if I may. Sorry, another follow-up on Nigeria. Apologies for that. Just to be clear here, you say affordability is core. Does that mean you expect your price, and probably more importantly, your mix will lag the high inflation that you're seeing there currently of 18 to 20%? The second question, and Michalis, just to follow up on your input cost, did you hedge your sugar pricing in around September, October, like you did last year? Maybe give a bit of insight and color on that. And then lastly, you've now launched your one brand campaign. So if you could maybe give a bit of color on the impact, particularly on Coke Zero, because you didn't call that out, and how consumers have received it, or if there's been any backlash on your packaging change around that.
Hi, Tristan. I'll take the first and the last one, and Michalis will help you with the second one. Starting with the affordability being at the core, you will recall in high inflationary environments, what we have been sharing is that it usually takes between 2 to 2.5 years to really cover, and especially when we see such abrupt moves to high teens, which is where CPI is currently in Nigeria. So that's why we are going gradually with our pricing, because we believe that is the right sustainable move. Otherwise, you have the risk of being completely disconnected from consumers. And that's exactly what we are following, and we will be following in Nigeria. So gradually taking pricing, and eventually it takes some time to cover the high inflationary environment. Second, with regards to the one brand, this is a key strategic initiative for us. This is something that we will start implementing January 1st next year across all of our countries. At this point of time, we don't have an exact figure behind Zero, but one thing is clear, that the overall positioning of Zero and Lights will be expanded, starting from the permanent beverage section, and then obviously this will extend to overall displays and so on and so forth. So we do see an acceleration of overall My Coke, with a key driver being Lights and Zero. And let me pass now to Michalis for your third question.
Hi, Tristan. So on sugar in Nigeria, first of all, I would say that there are two elements here. There is the dollar price and there is the Naira price, because we buy sugar in Nigeria locally in Naira. On the dollar price of the sugar, we are more than 50% hedged already. And clearly, because of the development in the price very recently, that it has gone significantly up, we have not been extremely active on hedging dollar price recently. So we are in a good place in terms of the 55%, primarily coming from earlier, from hedges earlier in the year. When it comes to the Naira price, as long as the situation with the challenging liquidity remains, there is an element of volatility there, because it depends very much on the local negotiations of what the Naira to dollar embedded rate is in the local price. So I hope this gives you some color in terms of where we stand with the Nigerian sugar.
Very clear. Just maybe if I can just follow up on the one brand strategy. I mean, you call out the success of Coca-Cola Life in some of your markets, but at the same time, it seems like the Coca-Cola company is, I'm not saying withdrawing support, but less focus on that extension. So where does this, what's the importance of Life in your portfolio going forward?
Well, Tristan, as we've shared, Life and the role of Life is not to be a huge volume driver. Life is a choice that we give to consumers, and as we said in a couple of our calls, a 2% contribution to My Coke is our first target. We're a bit below that, but we have seen
the overall My Coke being, I would use the word, rejuvenated in the countries that we have introduced. Second element is that we are selective also with the choice of packages, which is contributive overall to the revenue per case. And then there's a third element, and the third element has to do with the overall evolution of the formula. You will recall that up to now we have a formula which is a 36% less calories. So we are looking forward to the next step, and that's part of the overall work that the Coca-Cola company is doing with reformulation, going up to 50%. So 50% with the same or even better taste profile, we believe that that's going to be another positive element in the overall My Coke portfolio.
Great. Very clear. Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Chris McDonald. Please go ahead, Chris. You're now unmuted.
Hello. Good morning, and thanks for the questions. Most of my questions have been asked already, but I just quickly on in terms of M&A, I understand that you can't comment, and I assume that you're in the running for CCBA, but were you to miss out on the acquisition, on my estimates, your balance sheet falls below the 1.5 times net debt to EBITDA guided range this year. I mean, can we assume a special dividend, and what sort of amount would you be looking to return to shareholders? And just in terms of Russia, looking out to 2017, are you able to comment whether or not you think the market should be back in growth? What sort of growth is a reasonable expectation? And I know it's still only Q3, but that would be helpful. Thank you.
Chris, let me take the question on Russia. First of all, I will reiterate what we said in February this year, that obviously starting with 16 is going to be a better year than 15, decelerating the rate of decline. And we do see, as we have been sharing with you, that 17 is going to be the year where we will see a turnaround. Here, the turnaround is marginal. At this point of time, the market is expected to be flattish overall, non-alcoholic ready-to-drink market, flattish to a bit negative. We do believe that as we transition to 17, we will see even a bit more positive trajectory for the market. And as you know, we consistently outperform the market. So that is what we have at this point of time. And always have in mind that in that market also we go for value. Now, let me give the floor to Michalis for your first question.
Hi, Chris. So our position on the balance sheet hasn't really changed. Indeed, as you say, we closed 2015 with a net debt to comparable EBITDA of 1.5, and this is going to be somewhere lower at the end of 2016. We believe that in view of the ongoing volatility in the markets, it's not a bad place to be, and it does allow a lot of flexibility in our decision-making. Clearly, we have talked a lot about bolt-on acquisitions, water and juice, locally relevant brands in our territories, and we are active looking for such opportunities. If, after considering all this, we find ourselves that we need to optimize the gearing, then clearly we wouldn't rule out the possibility of a special dividend, but the timing and the size of it is really the decision of the board, and we'll come to it as and when the situation arises.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Kamal Dilun. Please go ahead, Kamal. You're now unmuted. Hello, Kamal. You on the line? That's Kamal from JP Morgan.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we've got you now. Please deliver your question.
Hi, good morning. Sorry to press on with the issue, but I've just got another few questions on Nigeria. Can I just confirm, you said volume increased by 11% in Q3 versus high single digit in H1, and you're guiding to mid to high single digit growth for the full year. So you expect material pressure in Q4. And then, you know, how should we be thinking about volume decline in Nigeria? I mean, it's probably a little bit early, but in 2017, based on what you're seeing, you know, in terms of the underlying consumer, but also your pricing strategy. And so you said that you're going to offset the devaluation in about two and a half years. Is that correct? And then lastly, what is the margin trajectory in the country, you know, in 2000, what should we expect, should we be expecting in 2017? So given obviously deteriorating volumes, but also the cost savings that you mentioned. And then finally, sorry, on input costs, you know, it's thank you for the update on Nigerian sugar, but can you give us some more color on how your input costs are developing as we move into 17 based on current hedges? Thank you.
Kamal, let me take the first part of your questions, and then Michalis will contribute to the last part. So we are absolutely happy with Q3. With all our segments improving in Nigeria, and Q4 is going to be another good quarter. Don't forget that we have also in Nigeria the one additional day, so that is a tailwind. Overall, going to the mid to high single digit for the year, as we have originally said. Now it's far too early to make a call for next year, and we will definitely share that in our February call. But obviously, both the external environment filtering through to consumers, as well as our gradual pricing, will have an effect on the volume. But at this point in time, it's far too early to comment on what the volume would be in Nigeria. Let me pass the floor to Michalis.
Yes, hi, Komal. Let me start with the input costs. For 2016, first of all, we said that we reiterate the marginal increase overall on a per-case basis, currency neutral. Looking at 2017, we are in a good place for some of them, for some of the commodities, a little bit too early for some others. We are working right now on our assumptions and our plans. However, let me say that for EU sugar, we are already 100% contracted in for 2017, and the price is very similar to that of 2016. In Russia, we are also 100% contracted in. And as I said earlier, in Nigeria, more than 50%, but Nigeria is a little bit of a wild card because there is some transactional effects element which is uncertain at the moment. In terms of resin, we are around 25% hedged right now. Through pre-buys, effectively, not derivatives. And there will be an increase in 2017 because of the phasing of the oil price developments versus 2016. And in aluminium and juices, we are around two-thirds hedged right now, and we expect a small increase. We will put all this together, and we will come with a guidance in February as to what it means. But overall, we are looking for next year at an increase. We have to see whether it will be a mid-single or a low single, or see how everything comes together.
Thank you.
In terms of your question on the margins in Nigeria, typically when there is a significant currency devaluation, and back to Dimitri's point, it takes some time for pricing and other initiatives to catch up with abrupt currency moves. Clearly, the margins take a hit to start with, and as pricing is catching up and hopefully currencies normalize, then at the back end of this 2 to 3 years, we see margins recovering very fast. This is the experience from Russia and from other countries where we have seen abrupt currency moves. So indeed, margins in Nigeria will take a hit as a result of the severe devaluation of the currency to recover gradually afterwards through the catch-up in the pricing and the cost initiatives that Dimitris mentioned.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is just a reminder. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Moving on to our next question, it comes from the line of Nick Goll. Please go ahead, Nick. You are now unmuted.
Good morning, everyone. Actually, three questions from us, which I would like to ask you to ask one by one. Could you please update us with your CapEx guidance for 2017? Should we expect this to remain in the range of 6-7% of the revenue?
I'm not sure which guidance you are referring to, 6-7%, sorry.
In terms of CapEx for 2017, maybe you could just give us your guidance.
Okay, CapEx guidance is in the range of 5.5-6.5% of revenue, and we maintain this also for 2017.
Okay, and how much of this CapEx is actually will be related to coolers and refrigerators?
Yeah, generally speaking, we call them revenue-generating initiatives, which is coolers and any new production infrastructure, and that is typically around 70-75% of the spend.
Okay, thank you. We heard that Frigo Guasa, one of the largest suppliers of refrigerators, is experiencing problems with the high debt burden. I'm curious if Frigo Guasa is the sole supplier of the equipment for you.
No, we have a wide range of suppliers. Frigo Glass is one of the suppliers.
How much of coolers, refrigerators did they supply to you?
Let the IR come back to you. I don't know the exact numbers on that, so IR will come back to you and give you the details on that.
Okay, so you think that there is alternative suppliers that can cover any supply disruption from Frigo Glass, right?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
We have no more questions in the queue, so at this point I would like to turn the conference back to your host for any concluding remarks.
Thank you, operator. I want to thank you for joining us today and for all your questions that facilitated a good discussion around our third quarter performance. At our Investor Day in June, we shared with you our roadmap for top-line growth and margin expansion, as well as the strategic initiatives that will get us there. We have been implementing these initiatives, and we will continue to drive the business forward and deliver on our promise for the benefit of our stakeholders. We look forward to sharing the results with you in the coming periods. Thank you very much and have a great day.